It's Thursday, July 9th, AD 2020. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. For the better part of 2 years, Kevin Onyango worked in the risky town of Mandera, Kenya, in order to provide the best for his wife, Velma, and their 2 young boys many miles away. Because his wife was in the latter stages of pregnancy, Kevin planned to return to Western Kenya to await the delivery of their 3rd child. On March 11th, as he traveled on the bus, more than 20 armed Somali Muslim gunmen from the terrorist group Al-Shabaab stopped the bus and asked Christians to get off. When Kevin and another believer got off the bus and refused to convert to Islam, they were shot dead at point-blank range, reports International Christian Concern. In the last 2 weeks, on June 26th, Velma welcomed their bouncing baby boy, Rowan. She said, quote, "He died at a time when we were expecting God to bless us with another child. Rowan will never see or know his father. Kevin did not live to hold his 3rd son. He died an innocent death while holding on to the testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." End quote. Romans 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Indeed, Kevin stood boldly for Christ. With the help of local partners, International Christian Concern has been able to aid Velma with rent and food for the next 4 months. She's grateful, but she says, quote, "My worry is about the future of bringing up these 3 boys. They will need education, medical care, clothing, and shelter. I pray that the Lord would bless us with a monthly source of income to help us sail through." End quote. Please pray for Velma as she figures out life without her husband, Kevin. Pray for these 3 young boys who must grow up without their father. And pray that they would understand why he died and why Christ is more than worth it. Hong Kong police made their first arrests last week under a sweeping new security law imposed by China, taking 10 protesters into custody. 6 men and 4 women, ages 15 to 67, were arrested due to so-called acts of inciting or abetting subversion or secession, reports Bloomberg. At least 6 possessed pro-democracy and independence pamphlets. Police collected DNA samples from them and searched their homes, both rare occurrences, if ever, in more than a year of pro-democracy demonstrations in the territory. United Airlines announced plans to lay off up to 36,000 U.S. employees in October, as travel remains depressed over the COVID-19 lockdowns, reports USA Today. Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah gave a blistering speech prompted by the refusal of Democrat senators to sign a simple resolution condemning mob violence. Listen.
"I just proposed a non-binding resolution condemning mob violence, and Senate Democrats objected. I don't know whether to be outraged or embarrassed for them. This isn't even a bill. It's just a statement that says mob violence is bad. Democrats can't say mob violence is bad without simultaneously taking a jab at the President of the United States. By the way, what about the mayor of Seattle? What about the City Council of Minneapolis? What about countless other people who have perpetuated or enabled or facilitated or coddled mob violence across the country? People are being shot. Businesses are being looted. Innocent Americans are being attacked and threatened. Lives are being ruined. Communities are burning, literally burning. So whose side are you on? This resolution was designed to be unifying."
Lee's proposed resolution had drawn a distinction between, quote, "organized, legitimate, peaceful, constitutionally protected demonstrations against instances of police brutality and racial inequality, and mob violence and criminal property destruction not in service of any just or coherent cause, but simply as an arrogant, bullying tantrum of self-righteous illiberalism and rage," end quote.
"It's long past time to expose the shiftless idiocy of the anti-American, anti-science, anti-establishment, anti-constitution mob and remove their snouts from the federal trough. Colleges and universities that punish free speech and discriminate against conservative and religious students. City councils who defund their police departments and refuse to protect public safety. States that force doctors to mutilate confused children without their parents' consent. School districts that embrace the ahistorical nonsense of the 1619 Project, The smug, sneering privilege of all of the above and much more, the whole garbage fire that is the so-called woke ideology, depends on federal money. The mob hates America on America's dime. It's time to cut off their allowance.
Major corporations have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, reports the Daily Signal. Most people don't know it was founded by trained Marxists and calls for replacing the nuclear family structure and promoting baby killing in the womb and the radical LHBT political agenda as central to its mission. So while most people think it's about fighting racial discrimination, Black Lives Matter actually calls for the abolition of prisons and police departments, demands reparations, and ignores fatherhood. In fact, Ryan Bomberger, a Black Christian pro-life activist, wrote a column entitled, 10 Reasons I'll Never Support the Black Lives Matter Movement. Founded in 2016, the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation began with the fiscal sponsorship of Thousand Currents, a liberal nonprofit group whose vice chairwoman, Susan Rosenberg, was convicted and imprisoned in 1984 for domestic terrorism. At least 18 companies have donated or pledged to donate money to this pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, anti-family group, according to a list compiled by the Washington-based Capital Research Center, which monitors nonprofits and charities. They include DoorDash, Deckers, Amazon, Gatorade, Microsoft, Glossier, 23andMe, Airbnb, Unilever, Bungie, Nabisco, Dropbox, Fitbit, Devolver Digital, Skillshare, Square Enix, That Game Company, and Tinder. In light of the left's condemnation of policemen and their goal to defund police departments, Worldview listener Don Johnson in Vista, California, reminded me of what Paul Harvey once said about the policeman.
A policeman is a composite of what all men are, I guess, a mingling of saint and sinner, dust and deity. And the fact is that less than 0.5% of policemen misfit that uniform. And that is a better average than you'd find among clergymen. What is a policeman? He of all men is at once the most needed and the most wanted, a strangely nameless creature who is sir to his face and pig or worse behind his back. If a policeman is neat, he's conceited. If he's careless, he's a bum. If he's pleasant, he's a flirt. If he's not, he's a grouch. He must make instant decisions which would require months for a lawyer. He must be first to an accident, infallible with a diagnosis. He must be able to start breathing, stop bleeding, tie splints, and above all, be sure the victim goes home without a limp or expect to be sued. If you hit him, he's a coward. If he hits you, he's a bully. If he catches the criminal, he's lucky. If he doesn't, he's a dunce. The policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course, he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
And finally, good news from the Supreme Court. In a 7-2 ruling written by Justice Samuel Alito, it handed private religious schools a major victory Wednesday, broadening the ministerial exception and ruling they can hire and fire employees without being governed by so-called anti-discrimination laws. At issue were teachers at two separate Catholic schools who sued after their contracts were not renewed for reasons the schools said were related to performance. The Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, which represented the two Catholic schools, applauded the decision. Eric Rasbach, senior counsel at Beckett, said, quote, "Today is a huge win for religious schools of all faith traditions. The last thing government officials should do is decide who is authorized to teach Catholicism to Catholics or Judaism to Jews. We are glad the court has resoundingly reaffirmed that churches and synagogues, not government, control who teaches kids about God," end quote. Deuteronomy 6, verse 18 says, "Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you." Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissented. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Thursday, July 9th in the year of our Lord, 2020. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com or get the Generations app through Google Play or the App Store. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.